When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Good drop, Fleeks. I don't want no scrubs. No scrubs in the lineup. But the Yankees are addicted to picking up scrubs and putting them in the lineup. The New York Yankees, like, this roster construction year after year, it's always lacking. And no one's surprised when guys get hurt. No one's surprised when guys that they're banking on to, oh, yeah, turn it around, have a bounce back year, doing the same things. Glaber, DJ, Stanton getting hurt, Rizzo getting hurt. And then you end up playing journeymen. You end up playing guys that nobody else would play consistently. Nobody would start. Nobody would lead off. Nobody would back cleanup. Guys that are DFA'd or calling up a young guy. And the young guy pops for a little bit, but then reverts back to being a young guy, a rookie, and is above his head. And you leave your fans who pay top dollar and sit in traffic to come see you arguing on The Fan at night. 888-808-1019. Excuse me. I've been mistakenly calling Carlos Narvaez Omar Narvaez. I mean, LGYM, Let's Go Yankee Mets. There's so much crosstown crossover. Omar Narvaez was the catcher that you guys had, you know, when you didn't have Luis Torrens from the Yankees. Look at all this overlapping. You take our scraps and I take your scraps and your trash is our trash and one man's trash is another man's treasure. We'll take your leftovers. Yeah, so I was referring to Carlos Narvaez as Omar Narvaez. So what? It doesn't even matter. I don't want to see another at bat, but whatever. This is what you got to do. Like, Trevino's on the IL, and they got cute, and Austin Wells hits a home run, sit him down. Austin Wells goes deep, sit him down. He needs rest. He's 25. He just came off an All-Star break. Nah, he didn't play in the All-Star game. I don't know what he did. But he needs a rest. Just absolutely can't go lefty on left. Let's go. Like, it looks super dumb afterwards, and it looked dumb beforehand. So I blame all of them. They're all to blame. And I don't want to hear another thing in the post game about, like, oh, yeah, they're a good team. Yeah, the Mets are a good ball club, but why didn't you put out your best lineup like you were facing a good ball club? Why didn't you act like you were facing the team that occupies the same space as you? That these local TV networks are going to talk about this, and like, you literally put your fan base in a position now at work, in their neighborhoods, on The Fan, just strangers in the stands. You put your fans in a compromising position. There's nothing that the Yankee fan can say to the Met fan. That's 3-0. Let's go to Naugatuck, Connecticut. Gary, you're on The Fan. What you got?
What's up, Keith?
What's up, Gary?
My man, Pots and Pans.
Hey, I'll be your Huckleberry.
Hey, did you hear what's going on with Curtin?
Of course.
Announcing games?
Yes, I check on Uncle Craig here and there, and I gave him some tips and some pointers about my experience sitting in for Susan Waldman, and we chatted for a while about the upcoming opportunity. I told him, make sure you start looking at the Texas Rangers right now. You have more of a runway than I had before I sat in there, and don't even sweat it. You're a pro. You're a Hall of Famer. Both of you are Hall of Famers. People are going to talk, and you know what? That's exactly what we want them to do. People can say whatever they want. They're never going to get that opportunity. You're getting the opportunity. It's an opportunity of a lifetime, something that you can knock off the bucket list. Say you called a New York Yankee game. He's going to call three games coming up really soon. I'm looking forward to hearing it. I'm sure it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I guess so. So what are your thoughts about him imitating her a little bit.
I don't care. Like, people take things way too serious. They take the internet too serious. They take the radio too serious. It's entertainment. There are serious things going on in our world every day. People are dying.
There are serious things
going on. People are struggling in this city. There are real life issues and problems going on. But people want to spend all of this time talking about little things like that, specifically things from the past. I know Susan doesn't have a problem with it. She gave it a go, a green light. She signed off on it. Craig doesn't have a problem with it either. That was all shtick. That was all for the radio. It was an imitation, Craig being a comedian. As long as Susan doesn't take it personal, nobody else should be taking it personal for her. I saw that article that was written in the New York Post about this is a betrayal to Yankee fans. I don't feel betrayed. It's not that serious. It's not that deep. The Yankees are trying to find the next voice of the Yankees, and in the interim, they're trying out a bunch of different things. Fine. Fine by me. The New York Yankees are trying out a bunch of different things in the lineup. Why can't WFAN try out a bunch of different things in the radio booth? It's not that serious.
Yeah, I didn't think it was anything serious. I thought it was kind of funny,
yes,
actually.
It is funny because I think Craig will bring it up. I think Craig is a professional. I think Craig is funny enough with his timing, and maybe he'll talk to Susan beforehand. And you know what? The person that we should be lifting up the most is Susan Waldman. Susan knows. Susan listens to the radio station. She's been on with me. She's been on the afternoon show. She's been on everybody's show. She knows. And for her to be big enough to say, yeah, whatever, I don't care, come on down. Susan has sat in with multiple different people calling the game this year. John retired. None of us saw it coming. Some people saw it coming, but not that abruptly. I look at Susan as an ultimate pro. She is a legend. She's a trailblazer. She's a Hall of Famer. And I've got the utmost respect for her saying, you know what? That was funny, and that was to entertain a crowd back then. I'm not going to hold that against this man. I'm not going to, like, this guy's got enough people holding things against him. I'm not going to be petty and say, no, he can't call a game with me because he made fun of me. Please.
Yeah, well, I don't think he did it in a funny way, and I don't think he ever did it.
It was comedic. It was not malicious. And also shout out to Susan, because Susan told me some stories of some things that were malicious and threats and people showing up to the stadium and the things that she had to go through just being a woman from Boston getting the opportunity to call the Yankee games. Like, Susan is, they should do a 30 for 30 just on Susan Waldman. I love Susan.
Yeah, well, she's in the Hall of Fame. She should be.
She's great, and she's been nothing but kind to me and super solid every time I've ever seen her, you know, giving me advice, giving me pointers, and she also signed off on me sitting in for her when I didn't ask to. I wasn't throwing my hat in. I wasn't raising my hand. Hey, well, here's a guy. I did not ask. That came up without my input at all. And when it came to me, I said, of course, I love this team. I'm blessed to be on WFAN. And if you guys want me to do that, you're the bosses. You're changing my shift to Friday and Saturday during the game, and Susan's okay with it. Well, thank you. I'd love to do it. It was a dream come true for me that I didn't even really think was in striking distance, and Susan made that possible.
Well, that's good. I mean, they've been there forever, so they should be making those calls.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just you gotta spice some things up. You gotta shake some things up, and clearly, this has been over a week now since the announcement, and we still have well over a week before it actually happens, and people are still talking about it. I heard BT and Sal talking about it earlier today. They're writing articles on it. So clearly the Yankees know what they're doing. They picked the right guy, right? Not too many people were talking about Brendan Burke getting the opportunity to do it. Not too many people were writing about me doing it. Actually, a lot of people did speak on that. But people are jealous. People are jealous. They're like, oh, super fan Keith McPherson. I'm not a super fan. I'm a super fan. No, I'm a radio professional. Like, I get paid to do this full time. I went to school for this. No, I didn't call games in college because that wasn't what I was pursuing. But I'll sit in and call my first two baseball games, the New York Yankees, one historic, Luis Heels, 14 strikeouts, makes history, is part of Yankee Classic. I'm immortalized. Whenever they play that on Yes Network for the next 20 years, there'll be a camera shot of me in the booth with Justin Shackle. Universe never unconnects. Like, God is great. Like, what else you got, Gary?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
But I wanted to run a lineup by you. How about Volpe, Verdugo, Judge, Soto?
Volpe, and then, Verdugo, Judge, Soto.
Okay, so I had the thought today. I'm leading Soto off tomorrow. I'm bad Judge second. I don't want Volpe back up there. Volpe's been finding it lower in the lineup as I thought he would, as we saw him in the beginning of the year. Verdugo, I'm not putting Verdugo anywhere near the top of the order. I'm glad he broke through today, but you got to leave those guys down there. Ben Rice has been leading off. I'm fine with him potentially going back there tomorrow, but like they're running out of answers because he's not the answer. They got cute with that, and you know what? He had a historic game. That's baseball, Susan. He had a historic game where he hit three home runs leading off, but he's completely cooled off. They got to get somebody at the trade deadline. And you know the thing about the trade deadline is it's the deadline. They could trade for somebody tomorrow and have them here. You know, they could have already traded for somebody that could lead off, that could play in the infield. But they just want to keep, I don't know, seeing what they have and running the same guys out there expecting different results. So we'll watch. And we'll show up to the stadium, and we'll hope week.
Yeah, I was just thinking maybe Soto should be behind Judge, just so, I mean, he's obviously
I guess now because Judge is getting intentionally walked, there's a thought to put Soto behind him. But no, Soto is a natural walk machine. He's an on-base machine, and I love the tandem of those two together, but I hate that we just don't have someone to hit in front of Soto and someone to protect Judge. It's just like, it's almost dumb. It's like, how do you get to this point? Like, like these guys are supposed to be smart baseball minds. Like, how do you get to the point where in the Subway Series, you're rolling out Jamai Jones as your DH and leadoff hitter and JD Davis? What? As your cleanup? Why? How do we end up defaulting into that?
Yeah, that's pretty poor and as far as my book. I was going to bring that up, but I heard you guys talking about it earlier. I was going to say, I think Aaron Boone bringing out, we're having good at-bats and good stuff.
It's nonsense. It's nonsense. They're not good at-bats. They're getting dominated. Yeah. Guys are getting dominated by Jose Quintana. They're good at bats. They're bummy at bats. They're laughable at bats. The three guys that you put in that lineup between Jamai Jones, JD Davis, and not Omar, but Carlos Narvaez, none of them had good at bats tonight.
Yeah, I thought it was a little lax on the post-game report.
But that's what we've come to expect. That's why I always tell the story that, man, I really started listening to WFAN's post-game show when Sweeney Murdy was doing it years ago because I could not watch the Yes Network and watch Boone. And shout out to him. He's great at it. And that's all part of how you get the job. Like, he had a TV job, so he understands that side of it. He understands the media. He's not giving y'all anything. Once in a while, he'll pound the table and say it's right in front of us to give you some emotion, but he's never, ever, ever, ever going to be down on his players. He's definitely not going to talk down on a lineup that he put together. He's going to build them up, even with the pitchers. Nestor can go out there and completely blow it. Yeah, I thought he had some good stuff.
That's true. And also, I mean, I'm not bashing her, but also with Susan Waldman on the post-game with their report, she was like, it's nobody's fault that this guy was batting first and he's not good at it. And it's like,
no, it is
somebody's fault.
It's multiple people's fault. Somebody made the decision. I've never seen that. Like, I don't know. I've never seen, like, Jamai Jones leading off in DHing just makes no sense to me. You bench Gleyber Torres. And you saw Gleyber Torres get benched in Tampa, come back, hit a home run the next day. Nobody had the thought to start or lead off Gleyber Torres. He's done it this season. He's done it before. There's no other options. And then even when you pinch it, you end up with Trent Grisham in the leadoff spot. You end up like it's like a maze. They can't get out of the maze. Every turn is a dead end.
it seems like they're reverting back to the point where, like, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but they were just kept changing everything.
Yeah, I said they lead the league with different lineup configurations. It doesn't lead you to success. Gary, thanks for the call. You're the man. I appreciate Gary and I now for over a year, because Craig has been gone for over a year. The station has changed, and I know they celebrated Evan and Tiki in a year of their shows. I appreciate Gary with the, my man, Pots and Pans. Hey, I'll be your Huckleberry. That's a homage, paying homage to Craig Carton, who, regardless of what you say about Craig, like, Craig is winning, bro. Regardless of what you say about Craig and the mistakes that he made, he's winning. He made those mistakes, and he gets to call New York Yankee games, and people are just jealous. People that will never get the chance to do anything, all they can do is project and hate. That's the world we live in. Between the internet gives people a place to just be negative and hate on other people. Go for it. Like, waste your time doing that. It's not very productive. You're not going to get anywhere. They're not hiring professional haters. Let's go to Ross in Bergen County on the Fan. Ross, I know you were feeling that game. I know you were feeling your boy Jeff McNeil.
It's incredible, dude. As McNeil and Diekman, you talk about two guys where the majority of the fan base, myself included, one of these guys gone as recent as, what, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
And I'm saying, you know, with McNeil specifically, you look at this guy, I've been saying it's like he passed the voodoo baton off to Alonzo. I mean, you know, that guy's got no pop. You know, he can't put bat on ball regardless, and all of a sudden McNeil's a homer again now. You can't make that up. And then Diekman, you want to talk about it? It sounded like Gary Cohen had no faith in him, let alone the fans, you know,
no
all around
did.
On Twitter.
Dude,
it's not supposed
to go down like that. Ever.
Dude, the fact that legitimately, if you had to, I mean, maybe out of, you know, two, you know, nothing changing him being garbage, but you want to talk about maybe if you had to list the two specific punching bags of this team or this fan base, were the two main reasons they won the game tonight. And I was just talking to Rami. He brought up a good point where, you know, you look at winning teams and one of the main formulas is when certain guys are, you know, down in the dumps and slumping, you got other guys picking the slack up. And when you, especially two of the legitimate worst players on the team at multiple points of this year, picking up a win where, you know, it's debatably the significance of the Subway Series in 2024, but still, you look at it as a really good team, maybe not now, but on paper, one of the better teams in the league record-wise. You had two of your worst players basically win the game for you. So it's kind of crap like that. You look at down the road, and if this game winds up being key, with how tight the wild card race is, could be one or two games, could be the difference maker. You look at a game tonight where two of your unsung heroes are the reason you walked out with a W.
And you got to enjoy that as a Mets fan. That's why I said I don't understand the Mets fans that are waiting for the other shoe to drop. I don't understand the Mets fans that want to get rid of guys like the Yankees. I immediately thought, who are you going to call? Slump busters. Like, the Yankees make everybody look like an ace. The Yankees break everybody out of a slump. The Yankee Stadium has become a main stage for other people to ball out, like Madison Square Garden was for years. Like, oh, yeah, everybody's coming here. All eyes on the main stage to show out and have a great game, have a great moment, steal the show from the New York Yankees. The Yankees don't intimidate anybody.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what City felt like for a time being. I guess you would still want to say it is with the OMG and the grimace, everything. And I think, by the way, listen, I'm on board where, you know, I'm cool with that, with all the shticks and all that with grimace. But I think legitimately OMG had an impact on that clubhouse besides just, you know, social media fodder. The fact that this is a, you know, you always talk about, and kind of the talk of the town last year between keeping Alonzo or not was how much, you know, reportedly the clubhouse hates him. And now you look at a year later, and despite Alonzo, you look at how tight-knit this clubhouse is, and they got this song to all rally around, and they basically started winning around. Everybody talks about the on-the-field concert, but they did one in Piazza Club, too. You saw guys like Reed Garrett and Jake Diekman, you know, the dancing of the song. There's not a word of English in it. Just the fact that they have something to bond around. And you were talking about the Yankees, too. I saw your tweet the other day. You're down with GIDP, yeah, you know me. I mean, that's funny as hell, but you just look at this lineup overall. Severino's right, and I think Evan Roberts had a point that maybe it could be used as bulletin board material and used against him. It pretty much wasn't tonight, albeit Torres having the homer, but they said that's at like 5 of 30 parks. But, I mean, they shut the door on him. You look at Quintana, had a pretty solid start. He got, you know, shelled by Colorado, but despite that, he's been good. And just overall, I think they did a great job all around. Even what
they had a game plan, they executed. It didn't matter if they slept. You could sleepwalk and beat the Yankees. They didn't sleep or they slept on the plane. Didn't matter, bro. Congrats, man. Enjoy the win, Ross. 888-808-1019. Yeah, Diekman is not supposed to face Judge in that situation and come out on top. I was shocked. Evan is in Bridgeport on the Fan. What's up, Evan?
Hey, Keith. Well, hey, just to start off, I mean, you're talking about ego and people hating on the internet, and I just want to pay respect. Like, I'm your age, and I see what you're doing, and I really see you calling Yankees games one day, so love the show. I just want to pay respect.
Maybe. I mean, but, like, I've been pretty honest about it. Like, even when I was in college, I did not call. I played football, so there's no way for me to call football games, and there was also no way for me to call baseball games because I had spring practice. I was an athlete. So I never pursued, you know, calling games in college. And I never put together a reel, a demo tape, none of that. If they want me to do that, I would obviously take the opportunity to do it. But that's not what I'm shooting for. I like doing this. I like talking about all sports. I like doing my social media. Shout out to the Mets fans giving me all this attention on social media tonight. I'll probably have 40,000 followers by tomorrow. And it just it all keeps working in my favor. Like I get people reaching out to me every week. I have more emails about like influencer deals and opportunities to go places, and it's just all organically, naturally happening from me being myself. So people can keep hating on me and keep writing like, please do. I encourage you to. It happens while I'm sleeping. I wake up to new opportunities and new things every day.
Yeah, bro. Well, you're a diehard. And you're doing it, and you're popping off, and there's going to be haters. So I just want to say I pay respects. My one thing, I was there tonight, just got home a little while ago. Diekman cannot pitch to Judge in that situation. I was sitting in 428. I'm a Mets fan. I can't believe, and hey, it worked out. It was a big ball decision. I listened to Mendoza on the post game. Like he said, we're going to pitch to him. I was thinking we gave you the Barry Bonds treatment. I think you intentionally walked the guy. You don't even throw him sliders going away.
Evan, they asked him why'd he do it? He said, I don't know. Like
I heard that in the parking lot.
That's guts.
Wild.
That's rolling the dice, being a gambling man and coming out on top.
Diekman is our worst guy too. Like I heard Diaz wasn't available. I was expecting Diaz. He doesn't come in. Diekman comes in, and I'm sitting up there like, why does this always have to happen to us? We're obviously blowing this game right now.
So
and then they pitch to Judge.
Bro.
I'm like, it's a two-run shot.
That's what I thought. Judge is – I'm like – my tweet that a lot of the Mets fans are eating up. I'm like, they're not about to pitch to Judge. They pitch to Judge. It's game over, 4-3.
Wild game. Hey, I just want to pay respects and say I love what you're doing, man. Thanks for taking my call, and I'm a big Mets fan, but hey, a Subway Series would be great. After tomorrow, I'll pull for you guys. Like, best of luck, and thank you for taking the call.
Hey, respect to you, Evan. That's solid. 888-808-1019. Everybody's not a hater. Every Met fan isn't a hater. And I have fun. I will return serve. I just understand the game differently. Like, I'm not ignoring people. I just don't ignore people. I don't ignore people online or in real life. This is all fun. This is entertainment, bro. I always tell y'all, when I was broke, when I was popped, it was quiet for me. Nobody was hitting me up. I prefer this. It's a lot better, so I don't mind. None of this stuff gets under my skin. I mean, the Yankees grind my gears, but like they grind my gears whether they lose to the Mets or the Cincinnati Reds. 888-808-1019. I've got like 25 minutes left. Big Mac is warming up. If you want to talk to me and get in on my show, Mets, Yankees, Subway Series, the Mets take the season series from the Yankees. The Yankees embarrass themselves with that stupid lineup and only scoring two runs on a team that probably only got 2 hours of good sleep today. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'm coming right back.
Talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Yeah. KM to 2 a.m. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I mean, my show started at like 11:30. I didn't bother talking about Hassan Reddick. I didn't bother talking about the Giants. I bet you'll hear a ton of that tomorrow. I didn't really even talk too much about the rumors around the trade deadline. It's about the game. I mean, little things in my notes like Jackie Bradley Jr. signing with the Mets. Who cares? It's about this rivalry. It's about the fans. And that's what it essentially is and about. I stand by my take that the New York Yankees could care less about winning the Subway Series. They do not care. They do not. Look, Luis Severino could come out and share the entire text. He could put it on his social media. He could post the entire group chat. The Yankees rolling out that lineup after they played a day game and the Mets didn't get back to the city. They were on the road for four games coming out of All-Star break. The Mets not getting back to the city. For the Yankees to roll out that lineup, it wasn't a punt lineup, but it was definitely a, like, let's see if we can get by with this lineup. 888-808-1019. And no, you didn't get by. You lost at home by one. But I'll say this. It was a much better game. Even though, like, you know, it's another loss. Much better game than the first two games. And the first two games had the rain delays. And the second game had the rain delay. But the first game, like, they were blowouts. They weren't close. At least this was competitive. At least you had the theatrics. At least you had a bunch of little things throughout the game that made it fun, made it interesting. And we'll see what happens later tonight with Gerrit Cole. Carmen is in Linden, New Jersey. Carmen, you're on the Fan.
Hello, Keith. You're terrific. Let me get quickly to my point. I love listening to you. Here's my point. I'm 75 years old. I've been a Yankee fan all my life. And a Knicks fan. I went to Villanova University. I love the fact that the Villanova threesome boosted the Knicks price. I've had a great year. But I want to say something about what you started saying tonight and what all your callers have said. I've been on hold for 15 minutes because I respect the fact that everybody wants to talk to you. But I want to say something about what this lineup, what happened tonight. First of all, I would have thought that somebody, even though they wouldn't get an honest, probably a straight answer from Boone, I would have wanted one of the reporters, somebody to ask the question in a respectful way. Did you come up with this lineup? Was it a collaborative thing with you and Cashman? And then I thought to myself, you know, this didn't make any sense. With the three guys that he had start, there's only with Boone being a lifer and Cashman having brains and everything that he said, I came up with one other thought. Today is the 24th of July. We got a week left to the deadline, the 30th. And I respect your opinion. Give me your opinion. I have another take. The only thing that I could think of to put those guys out there is, do you think there's a possibility that Cashman is trying to put together a deal with these three guys included, and he wanted to showcase them to make this deal for the deadline to bring some kind of talent here that would make a difference with this Yankee team? Do you think there's any possibility of what I'm thinking after watching baseball and being involved?
No, sir.
I'm 75.
No, sir.
Do you think that there's any chance?
We can quickly go through all three of these guys. Jamai Jones is a journeyman, pinch runner, utility, like nobody, no value. No, there, you can't trade him for it. No one wants him. If he got DFA'd today, I don't think anybody would pick him up. Speaking of being DFA'd today, JD Davis is cooked. One of the worst franchises in the sport that doesn't even have a home. Next year, they're going by ATH on the schedule. They're going to play in Sacramento in a minor league park. They DFA'd J.D. Davis, and the Yankees picked him up because that's what they do, thinking they're going to get another Matt Carpenter situation out of nowhere. The Athletics DFA'd him. Nobody wants him. You can't trade him for anything. And Carlos Narvaez just got his first major league hit. He's a guy that, like, he's a Triple-A guy. He's only up here because Trevino got hurt. He has no value either.
Keith, let me just say one thing. I didn't mean one of them. I meant package with those three guys included to get some kind of a relief help. You don't think there's even a chance that those three guys...
If you put all three of those guys together, maybe you could get three honey buns.
Okay, Keith, I respect your opinion. You know what? The only reason that came into my head was I cannot understand what a lifer in baseball like Boone and Cashman could have been thinking to make that lineup. That's why I came up with that thing, that doing something for the deadline.
And that's why I go back to my take that they do not care about winning the sub. Like, you could not put out a worse lineup to show everyone, we don't care about this game. Thanks for the call, Carmen. Like, it goes back to what I said 2 years ago. I can't get all hyped up and rah-rah and back and forth. We hate the Mets. Mets suck. Yankees suck. F the Yankees. F the Mets. Blah, blah, blah. When I watch my team roll out that lineup, it shows me that they don't care. They're not really trying to win the game. If they win the game, that'd be cool. But if they lose the game, they're not losing any sleep over it. They're not losing any sleep over losing the season series. They're not losing any sleep over dropping the first three to the Mets. They look at the Mets like, whatever, good for you. You'll never be us. And we have 60 wins. We're a game and a half out of first place. Yeah, we need these wins, but it's not that urgent yet because it's July 23rd, 24th. Chippy is in Queens. Chippy, you're next up. You got it.
Yes, sir. Good night.
Good night. Good morning.
First time call your show, sir, and I find your bias. I'm on a 35-year Mets fan, right? And I love the Yankees because we have two teams in New York, Yankee and the Mets. Now, I remember last year when Telecan says that the LA Eastern Conference is over, and I hear Bash Telecan to say that. And then I listen to you and you bash the Mets. I don't bash the Yankees. You all cry too much. Somebody had to win. In the 90s, the Yankees and the Braves beat me up. I take it as a man. So when Mets beat the Yankees, don't cry.
I mean, that call was chippy. Chippy, I don't know what the hell you just said. I think I did pick up that you don't bash the Yankees. That's cap. This whole show I've been bashing the Yankees organization, top to bottom. That dumb lineup they put out. And I know a lot of you guys hear what you want to hear, and that's fine. I can't make you hear me. I know the Yankee fans hear me. But you don't call the fan and say what I say. 35 years, I don't know what you're saying, bro. Like, I couldn't understand you. And the little bit that I picked up with, like, you're wrong. But I know you butthurt Mets fans, like, you hear me, and I trigger you. And that warms my heart. I swear it does. It's a powerful position. I love being the, like, most hated Yankee fan. Because all that does is build me up in my own fan base, in my own community. Like, I'd never imagined that I'd be this important. I never imagined that I'd have this part in all of this. I used to duck the Subway Series. I used to not have enough bread to go to the Subway Series. I used to say it was amateur hour. Now I get to, like, literally just leave tickets on the table, parking on the table, not even go to the game, watch the game at home, put my notes together, drive over here to talk to you guys, man. It's a blessed existence. Some guy, 35-year-old Met fan, been rooting for the Mets 35 years, the same amount of time I've been alive, like, I didn't understand what you said, bro. I have to run that back on the free Odyssey app and try to make out the what. I don't know what you said, dude. But I could tell in your tone that you were negative. You were trying to come at me. You missed. If you're going to come at me, come at me correctly, bro. Try again. Call back. The phone line's open. And slow it down. I missed that one, bro. You can't say I don't bash the Yankees. Or I'm biased. I did catch it, but you're biased. I'm a Yankee fan. Obviously, I'm clearly on one side. But when the Yankees are trash, I call it out. It's not like I'm coming in here and making excuses for them. They did not show up. You heard me talk about Soto getting neutralized, Judge getting froze out of the game, and then when he finally got an opportunity to impact the game, game over. I tip my cap to the Mets. You hear me talking about LGYM, Let's Go Yankee Mets. Yeah, back in April when I'm seeing you guys bring on Mendoza, or even further, you know, the winter, bringing on Mendoza, bringing on Severino, bringing on Bader. I'm like, yo, they want the Yankees scraps. But right now you're getting the last laugh. Maybe the Yankees get the last laugh. Maybe all this needs to happen. Like, I do believe that you need to hit rock bottom. You have to destroy before you can elevate. You have to hit an absolute rock bottom to look at yourself and say, this is what's got to get fixed. I know that there are guys in that clubhouse that feel like they can still win the World Series for the New York Yankees. There should be guys in the clubhouse that feel like they can win the World Series for the New York Mets. As fans, we don't get to throw the ball. We don't get to take any at-bats. All we do is watch. Don't let it get to you. Don't let me get to you. It's all fun and games. I'll be at the game hoping the Yankees win. Then, zoom, I'll drive down here to host the show again. And it's really not, it's really not that serious. At the end of the day, like, if the Yankees get 61 wins later on tonight, great. I hope they win the World Series every single year. But it's been 15 years since they have, so if they don't get it done this year, whatever. We'll roll right into football season, and you'll hear me on the Fan talking about Patrick Mahomes and C.J. Stroud and Joe Burrow and, you know. Tim is in Norwalk, Connecticut. Tim, you're on the Fan. What's up, bro?
I just got back from the game. I missed you by about a half hour from the Hard Rock. I was looking forward to seeing you.
I didn't go.
Brought a jet to-
I said
somebody said that you were there.
Somebody lied to you. I said I was going to go on the show when you called 2 days ago, but like, you know, when I opened up this show, I said I had a bad feeling. This is the first time I ever like packed up, got dressed, drove 20 minutes away from my house, and the traffic started piling up, and I'm thinking about this lineup and a potential storm, and I wasn't feeling 100%. I'm like, I'm going home.
Keith, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do any expletives. Finally, I just got back to Newark right now. Sasha says hi, by the way.
Hey.
She put on lip gloss because she thought she was going to see you. She has a crush on you. Anyway, long story short. All right, so J.D. Davis, when was the last baseball game you played? Why didn't you – D.J. LeMahieu, I know nobody's a fan of him right now. I still have hopes for him. Why did you not put him in the cleanup spot? I have no idea.
I would have preferred
Jose Quintana, he had one good year with the White Sox. Why you, like, I mean, the Mets don't...
This
game was so frustrating.
I think the Yankees...
And they were
They wanted to frustrate all the fans. They wanted to put a lineup out that not one Yankee fan would have ever put together. It's like a weird puzzle. It's like, let's put together a lineup that no Yankee fan would have signed off on and see if it works. And when it doesn't work, we'll just say that they had good at-bats and it was a tough one and we'll get them tomorrow.
Keith, we're 3 feet away from Death Valley. Of course, the furthest part in the ballpark, they couldn't get that wall of the freaking wall. We would have been up 5-2.
Yeah, because that's how baseball works. The baseball gods, you know, men make
crazy.
Plans
I mean,
and the baseball gods laugh.
I know. And
they deserve to win.
Great tonight. It was like 48,000. I mean, it was a sellout. It was awesome. I mean, but like, I'll tell you, I always make fun of Sasha because she has the name on the back of her jersey. But there are a lot of Mets fans with those names on the back of their jerseys, and I could pinpoint all those fake jerseys, Fugazis. Anyway, Keith, have a good night, man. I finally got home.
Thanks for the call, Tim. Yo, shout out to the Mets fans for showing out. Because I know we show up to your building trying to take over. I know we show up to your building shouting and ranting and raving. And I don't think the Met fan approaches it like that. Not all of you. I think you just show up in numbers in your bright blue and orange. And then when your team shows up, you don't have to do all the talking and ranting and raving. I said this a while ago. I was like, the Met fan's going to show up in Yankee Stadium. They seen the Dodgers fans crush the building. The Yankees been soft ever since the Dodgers came through and crushed the building. They seen the Braves fans come in there and crush the building. The Orioles fans, like, all they got to do is get on the subway, take an Uber Lyft, drive themselves to get to Yankee Stadium. That's a good feeling. Enjoy that. I mean, complete the sweep, and you'll have over a year of bragging rights. And then depending on if the Yankees want to get serious about their own fate here, like, we'll see what happens in the postseason. Abe is in Brooklyn. Next up on the Fan, you got it, Abe.
Hey, Keith. How are you, Keith?
Good, good.
Love the show.
Listen, man, I love you. I respect you, and I love your take on the Mets Yankees. I'm a Mets fan. But I got to tell you one thing. I listen to a lot of this radio station, and listen, people take L's, people take hits. But you didn't take an L, but don't make fun of a guy that's got a foreign accent because he's making fun of your take. Come on, man. You're better than that. That's too low of a move for someone who's doing a radio station.
That's a return serve. He came at me saying, all
that's,
I can
that's
make
a low-end return. That, making fun of someone's accent means that what he said you could not have returned to. That means you have to go to his
all I could make out of
what to say on what he
all
said.
I could make out of his call was, you're biased. You bash the Mets. You don't bash the Yankees.
But just you answer what he said. You can't make fun of his foreign accent that you couldn't hear him. Come on, Keith. No, I love you, man. You got to stay with him.
I definitely can. I think it's a return serve. It's fair. I couldn't understand what
But if you're
said.
Returning to serve on the guy's freaking accent, that means that you couldn't return on what he said.
All I could make out, Abe, was you're biased. You bash the Mets. You don't bash the Yankees.
So talk back to that, what he said. Don't talk back to his accent.
I talk back to him in his accent.
No, man. Come on, Keith. I listen to a lot of this radio show. No one's that low that they got to make fun of someone's accent, man.
Done and done. Return serve. I told him call back if he wanted to slow down, if he wanted to speak.
But I still love you, Keith. Don't think I'm taking hits. I still love you.
You can. You can. And none of this is that serious. None of this is that personal. We're all strangers.
You do a great job.
Yeah, and whatever his name was, Chippy, like I said, that call was Chippy. I couldn't understand you, bro.
Oh, I like that. But listen, I just wanted to get, you know, you got to get feedback sometimes, you know?
I appreciate the feedback, but I'm not taking back anything I say or do on this radio station. I stand on it. His accent is his accent.
Okay, we can agree to disagree.
We can agree to disagree. The radio is live. Can't take it back, and I don't take it back.
All right, Keith, have a great night, Keith.
I am. Thanks, Abe. Like I said, come at me. Don't expect to not have it come right back at you. I can't understand you, boss. I couldn't understand what you said, but the little bit that I could make out, you were taking shots. And you were incorrect. Sorry. Last call of the night goes to Mike and Selden. Mike, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, what's up, Keith? How you doing, bro?
You know, taking these calls and just doing my job. And I'm sorry if anybody gets butthurt or their feelings involved, but it ain't that serious.
Yeah, so I turned on late, but I didn't know if we discussed already. With Martian coming back, and then Stanton, too, is more of a hit because where's Martian fit? Because he has to play every day. And now Verdugo shows a little something. So I thought he was just going to jump in the hit spot, but you can't put Judge on the DH and Stanton coming back. So there are reinforcements coming. It's just...
These things work themselves out.
Lineup every day.
Verdugo's not untouchable. These things work themselves out. I think that there's room for Stanton. There's room for Dominguez. They'll play the matchups. Dominguez is a switch hitter. Stanton is a righty. You know they're going to slowly work Stanton back. It's not like he's going to be full go. He's also going to need time. He's also going to, you know, he's going to need to get his rhythm back. They'll figure it out. I don't know. With Dominguez... Like I said, it went from he's not available for a while to he'll be back like that. And I'm like, okay, whatever, I guess because...
Yeah, it was a snap of the finger, and all of a sudden he's back almost next week going to be playing.
He's playing in games. So I'm like, okay, they said that he was a while away. Whatever, send him. They need help.
Well, Keith, I just want to say I'm a fan. Normally I'm not up this late, so I don't get to listen. I listen to your podcast, so there's people listening there, man.
I know.
And I've been in love with you guys ever since you had Carl Banks back, man. When the people at the station were clowning on him and you had his back, I became a huge fan then, man. I'll be following you all the way.
I'm like that. I appreciate the call, Mike. That's all we've got. And Chippy, don't take it personal. I couldn't understand what you're saying, bro. We're grown men. This is sports talk. This is debate. This is back and forth. You took a shot at me, I'll take a shot at you. And if you take it personal, take it personal. And if anybody feels disrespected or feels like that was low... that's fine. I really don't care. I don't think it was. I have no idea what kind of accent he has. So, like I said, I could make out a little bit of that. And you didn't. If you come through with an accent and you seem like you are fair, you come through with a take that seems like it's not attacking me, then you won't get attacked back. It's a return serve. The end. We got another game coming up. Sean Manaea versus Garrett Cole. Mets versus Yankees. New York versus New York. Looking forward to it. I'll be there. And I'll be right here on the Fan after to talk about it, win or lose. And whether the Yankees want to put out a decent lineup or not, I expect them to. But I don't control any of that. I can control what I say, what I do in my notes and prepare for the show. And that's all I've got, man. C-Mac's going to come in and give you his vantage point. He went to the game and he saw some things. And I'll be listening to his show until I fall asleep. Anyway, call the fan. Weigh in. Mets fans, Yankee fans. I got to go home. Good morning and good night.
Sports Radio 101.9.